And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against it, or a banner. His banner over me is we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. I've been getting quite a bit of that the last few days myself. The people who have to decide whether they're going to be shaken or whether they're going to be unmovable, whether they're in a kingdom that can't be shaken or whether they're just going to, you know. What did Job's wife say to him? Exactly the one I was thinking about. Like, she said other things, but that's the one I was thinking about. Yeah, just curse God and die. That's the way it is. Can't do anything. And I mean, I'm struck again as we look at it. We as believers individually are responsible to grow with respect to our salvation. That's the healing that is by faith. For salvation is grace through faith. And salvation is spirit, soul, and body. It is eternal. It is righteousness. It is health and strength. It is peace. It is the discipline to let not your heart or your spirit be troubled, neither be afraid. That's a discipline. For believing is a choice of your spirit. Your primary will is in your spirit, not your soul, not your body. They have wills too. You want to go and evade the cookie jar and lay down on the couch and turn the TV on and watch American football or something stupid. Politics is even worse. Well, I don't know which is worse, but anyway. You know, and the soul wants to feel sorry for itself and to live by its feelings and to feel the other guy's getting a better shot than you. And this election coming up, I'm going to vote for me. I'm not going to vote for the country. I want something for me. Poor me. Hard done by me. Do you know where that story came from? Came from the devil. When did it come? Right in the garden. Poor you. You're being shortchanged by God. You should get that tree. He's just being mean to you. You're being deprived of your rights. And it's all a lie. Your spirit is designed to be a conduit. To get bigger and bigger. And the conduit of life and power we call faith. For by grace, which is unlimited life and favor and power, for my grace is sufficient for you, for my power will come to your weakness. When Paul got that revelation, he changed what he believed. He made the pipe bigger. He opened the conduit. You should have a pipe big enough to take an ocean. I remember, I forget his name, Bill, Bob or something, Robinson. He's a minister out in the West Coast. And he used to start his meetings by saying, "Are you ready to drink?" And have everybody stand up. Should we do that? And everybody stand up. We're not doing that. And he said, "Have everybody stand up." And everybody would stand up. He says, "Okay, get your barrel. Ready? Drink." Trying to get something across. A lot of people get to the Lord and they say, "Okay. Espresso. Let's drink." But we do barrels. And the price of a barrel is going down. It's easier to come by than ever before. There are three aspects to salvation: spirit, soul, and body. There are three aspects to kingdom: spirit, soul, and body. There are three pictures in Scripture. Broad pictures. And I think we only tend to see two of them. We get stuck on two. You know, we tend to do communion around healing and forgiveness of sins. His stripes, break the bread, and the blood, forgiveness of sins. But what about the punishment that gave us peace, which was upon him? That's part of the communion. The soul was included. They attacked his soul. They mocked who he was in his self-concept. That's not body. That's not spirit. That's soul. And they mocked it. They said, you don't know who you are. You think you're a winner, you're a loser. You don't know what you are. You think you're a king, you don't even know who hit you. You can't save yourself, and yet you think you save others. They mocked him with the thorn in the flesh, the same way Paul was mocked. In fact, they shoved it into his soul, into his thinking, into his authority, into his headship. They shoved the thorn in the flesh in to take away peace. Now, there are three things broadly in the Scripture: the law of sin and death, the first covenant. It provided an atonement. It provided a way of positioning yourself before the Lord, before the Messiah, before the coming one, so that he would receive you and take you from captivity into heaven. And then there was the new covenant, which exposed two other things. The first one was salvation, often mistaken for being born again, the new birth. But the new birth was only for the spirit. And salvation was for the spirit, soul, and body. God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth, of the salvation, of the love, of the life. And then there's a third thing, the second of the two in the new covenant. And it was the most important, and it's called the kingdom. And as I walk down the road these days, I see kingdom everywhere not working. I see ignorance of the kingdom everywhere. Did you learn anything when this wise man, I know he was dressed up pretty, but he's still pretty wise, on Sunday was talking about the Lord and the salvation of healing? Did you learn anything? You are to grow in faith until your body walks in it. It's available to everybody who's born again. It's actually your portion and your maturity. It's available. When you decide you are going to take that provision, you are going to remember the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And when a disease comes back that's strong enough in you to take it on, and the disease turns and flees, I'm talking the disease comes back. You know, E.W. Kenyon said that 90% of the people who suffer from healing and healing loss are losing it on the counterattack. You get them healed, they feel better, and then something enters their head. Hath God said he's healed you? Why do you feel sick this morning? You see, if I can get you off what God said and onto your feelings this morning, I can kill you. Why do you feel sick this morning? Well, I don't know why I feel sick this morning. You begin to entertain the lie and roll it over in your soul. You listen to the words, and James says you can deceive your heart by listening to the wrong words. But as we get stronger there, you'll find you're now becoming part of something bigger. You can begin to see it. It's called the kingdom. It's unstoppable. You start to say, build your kingdom here. Change the atmosphere. And he will heal the land, not your body. Because healing, the other aspect of healing that I've been pushing a little bit lately is the kingdom aspect, which is where healing is a display of power as the calling card of the kingdom. If you don't know God at all, you can get healed by God. As a calling card of the kingdom, he'll catch up with you later and say, you know who healed you? I don't know. It's me. Worship me. Okay. Now I'm going to get born again. But it was a calling card because you went into all the world and you preached the gospel and you healed the sick and you drove out demons, for all authority in heaven and earth was given over snakes and scorpions and all the power of the devil. This is kingdom stuff. And it is that second dimension of the new covenant, or the third broad scope of the scripture. And we don't understand it enough. But it's where this world is fixed. You get fixed in salvation. This world gets fixed in kingdom. This world is where your daily bread comes from. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Fill my cup till it overflows. Set a table before me. Push back my enemies. Deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Take on any number of adversary. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Why? Kingdom is being released by what I loose on the face of the earth, what I participate in. And it'll be a glory, and it'll be a witness and a testimony of the power. When the kingdom came to the Corinthians, it came in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So what Karen's talking about is someone who didn't get into the kingdom very well, but she would walk with her and tell her the power was there. I spent time with a person today that, as far as I knew, was as thick as a post. He wasn't even a farmer. Okay, can I say that? But it's true, he wasn't a farmer. Get a little guilt by association going. And now, I was asking the Lord, how do I go in and deal with this person? I didn't really get an answer. So I decided the way you go in and deal with them, you go in and you love them. You just love them. And I listened to a series of complaints, and I listened to concerns and anxiety, frustration. Finally, I said to him after about an hour of this, I said, do you know the Lord? He said, I pray all the time. I said, what's he telling you? He says, I don't know. I said, the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. Are you walking close enough? And I'll tell you, the external evidence was a great big no. Are you walking close enough to hear the Lord? And surprisingly, he said, how do I know it's the Lord's voice? You see, people you don't think, people that as far as you know have never darkened the door of a church. And you think, they don't, what do they know? They're ignorant. Well, yeah, maybe they're ignorant. But they are created as a spirit being, and there's often something in there that yearns to connect. And I was just able to say, look, very simple things. If you build your spirit . He was telling me how people were lying to him, and he didn't know how to catch them in their lies. I said, I'll tell you how to catch people in their lies. You build in yourself the spirit of truth. And you no longer be prey to designing spirits. Tell Brett that sometime. And he said, what's a designing spirit? I said, well, they have this great big board, and they have this paper. I said, they have designs on you. And you don't know what to do about it. But the Lord will tell you. He'll speak to you. Now, I'm talking kingdom to the guy. But he's never heard kingdom. But he prays all the time. Do you know how much knowledge there is out there about kingdom? I don't even think we got the mustard seed right now. Do you know my people perish for lack of knowledge? Not about salvation. They'll go to heaven. But they have no knowledge of the kingdom. They have no knowledge of the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We have some knowledge. Just the beginning. I've been teaching this for 9 months, 10 months. And that's because I've filled myself up. I figure I'm pretty well 12 to 15% knowledgeable on the kingdom. Been studying it a lot for a year and a half. And I keep seeing more. But when I look around at people hoping that the Lord will do something for them, hoping power would show up, hoping a prayer would be answered, hoping a door would be opened that no man could shut, wondering what to do when the next attack comes. The devil tried to kill Glenn's son last week. Shut the door on him. Why? The kingdom can shut those doors. Amen. If two of you on earth will agree Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And if you ever get a glimpse of that, it'll change who you are and how you walk. Two ways. One, you'll stop walking in fear. And two, you'll start walking in kingdom. Instead of wondering why. We're preaching so often much today that your prosperity is in your salvation. It's not. Scripture says it's not. But that's the North American church's idea. Jesus said, if you want money, seek first the kingdom. And all those things will be added to you. He just was preaching Deuteronomy 28. That's all he was doing. And we preach, no, you got to have six steps to prosperity, you know. It starts usually with tithing. Yeah. You're not giving enough to the church. That's why you're broke. Jesus said, you're not seeking the kingdom. And you're worried about it. That's why you're broke. Who are you going to believe? It's time you started to believe the king about the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying you don't understand the purpose and the function of the body. But I'm saying the body is supposed to be, what's the definition of kingdom? The mature church. The reason it's a definition, because it expresses it. What's the definition of big? Huge, large, gargantuan. Why? Because it expresses big. If we can get a hold of this kingdom, we're going to get a hold of the thing that is not shaken, that is dug in and built on the rock, that is built by the Lord, and we're not laboring in vain. We're going to get a hold of things that we participate in from Glenn's son, right up to the smartest, best-looking person in the room. Well, I guess that's Glenn. So, we're going to start to see more celiacs healed. You know, celiacs can get healed. You know which diseases Jesus can't heal? The only one he can't heal is unbelief. You got to take that one on yourself. Remember he said to the Pharisees, they said to him, if you're the Christ, tell us. You know, he was saying to them, which miracle don't you believe? No, if you're the Christ, tell us. And he said, I told you and you would believe. He couldn't take their will away. He could only call them. Build the kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Well, when you get a hold of that, you realize you're part of something that can't be stopped. Prosperity was never designed for you. I'm sorry to say it. It was designed for the kingdom. That's why he said, seek the kingdom and the things will be added to you. You think he's given it to you so you can run off and end up in the pig pen, having squandered your money on the foolishness of the flesh? Is that what you think he's doing? Yeah, he wants all his kids scattered across the face of the earth, dying somewhere in some pig pen. And he'll just fund it for you. Remember the father, the prodigal son? Every Saturday morning, he ran down the road and delivered another pile of goodies, bought the lunch for his son, made him feel happy and said, I hope your life is going well. I just want to be with you. No, he never stepped off the kingdom. He had the territory that he walked on, and you were welcome to come in, but he didn't chase you down the road to hell. You want to go down that road, you go yourself. But if you come back, he'll put you right in the middle of the fatted calf pig out. Can you have a fatted calf pig out? It kind of reminds me of last Sunday afternoon. You know, last Sunday afternoon to me was an illustration of kingdom. It was no big deal, but there was no one excluded. There was no one not good enough. Everybody was loved. The least of these, my people, were received and loved. And you just got up, went to the food table, went back, sat down. Sort of like getting up and going to bed. You know, you just enjoyed life. Why? Because nothing was going to shake it. The devil stayed away that day. There was no striving. There was no outcry in our streets, is the way David put it. When you get a taste of it, you start to realize you're riding on something that has so much power. It's like walking the deck. Do you ever walk the deck of the USS Enterprise? As an aircraft carrier. I walked the deck of the USS Enterprise. It's a little boat. It has a crew of 5,000. It has more planes than the Canadian Air Force. And when you feel the power, they buy their valves from us because they can't get this thing to work without us. But when you understand the power, that you're just walking the deck. You're just enjoying the kingdom. You're just going to bed and getting up. Knowing that in that kingdom is the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. The demonstration is the way Paul puts it in 2nd chapter of Corinthians. The demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's how I introduced it to you, and you need a revelation of it, and you're still babies because you're still fighting over who's going to be of Paul and who's going to be of Apollos. You see? I get these little emails, you know? Wenzel's preaching's better than yours. And I say, well, who's writing that stuff? And it says Highway 17 Ministries or something. Anyway. I don't know who that is, but you know, I'm going to find it out. I'm going to track it down. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. But he was telling the Corinthians after all that, it's all about the revelation and the demonstration of Spirit and power, and that your eye hasn't seen it and your ear hasn't heard it and it hasn't entered into your heart, which is what Peter said. You'd do well to pay attention to it until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, your spirit. Pay attention to it. Kingdom is built by being in kingdom, being in a mature church. As mature as you can find. Kingdom is built by going to bed and getting up and watching your spirit do something. You don't know how, but first it begins to produce a leaf of the kingdom. And then the stalk of the kingdom. And then the head of the kingdom. To the point you begin to realize this can be reaped. This can pull fruit into the earth. This can bring bounty. This is provision of the Spirit and power. So that all things and the fullness of all things which are given to the church. Oh no, it's got to be given to me because I'm really zealous and I'm studying all the time. No, it's given to the church. The manifestation is given to the church to profit with all. And when he's talking to you later, he's going to say, you looked after the least of these, my brethren. What do you mean we looked after them? I just bought him lunch when he was hungry. And I gave him a jacket when he was cold. And I visited him in prison. I went to visit people in prison today. Couldn't even get in, but I'll be back tomorrow. But there's a kingdom moving. I can sense the power. And we're starting to see the power. And people interrupt my message to give their little testimonies. And I'll get a little email later. You know, Wenzel was better. And we're going to see things that people long to see. The scripture says they long to see what's in the kingdom and didn't, other than by revelation and faith, other than by prophetic revelation. But you're seeing, the New Testament says, you're seeing a kingdom they longed to see. The angels yearn to look into it. I just have two scriptures to read. They're kingdom type scriptures. What should I read first? They're both in Psalms. Let's start with Psalm 91. And I like Psalm 91 because it's very close to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a lot about kingdom. Should read Psalm 90 sometime. I'm just going to read it from 11 on. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart, a spirit of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for your servants? Or satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. That's one you should have underlined. And confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. That's kingdom. 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Those are kingdom statements, and if you can get the church over there, it'll transform who's running the show. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the fowler, the trapper, the devil, and from the deadly pestilence. It's called celiac, in case you're wondering. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. Who may? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Not he who is saved, but he who has discovered kingdom. You know, the picture in the Old Covenant was this. They were told as a nation that the other nations would run after them and grab their cloak or their garments and say, who is your God? I wonder who that was. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You know what a bulwark is? It's what they held the walls up with. It's what they kept the defenses with. It was a work of reinforcement. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not approach you. Well, how can it not be approaching me? They're at my side, and they're at my right hand. That's how close it can come. It will not approach you. Are you walking by sight, or are you walking by faith? The righteous walk by faith. They live by grace through faith, but they walk by faith. And walking is a possession of territory in the kingdom. You will only look on with your eyes. It's within view. And see the recompense of the wicked. They'll be dropping like flies. There'll be 1,000 go down one side, 10,000 the other. Who are the wicked? The unbelievers. Is there a level of unbelief in the body? O ye of little faith. That's the kingdom passage of Matthew 6, isn't it? For you have made the Lord, my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Do you get that in your spirit yet? Do you have any fear left in you of disease? Well, what happens if disease comes? Well, what happens if a rainy day comes or a cold night? What happens if a noisy car goes by? Oh, I'm just terrified of everything. What happens if the elevator goes up too fast? Or goes down too fast? There are people who take the stairs no matter where they're going. No evil will befall you. No evil will befall you. If you're in the kingdom, no evil will befall you. When they fought battles, you know how they knew there was a disaster the next time after Jericho? I think they lost 112. Out of what? 20,000? That was an absolute disaster. The plan is this. No one, not one, will perish except the son of perdition. I keep them all. We don't understand the word all from scriptural perspective. He healed them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And there was leftovers. I wonder if they had to put them in a fridge and eat them for a week. Could be. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. Is that true? They, the angels, will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. Are you looking at Luke 10? 19 right now. Upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. This is really talking about the Lord Jesus, in which we participate as his body. I will set him on high. My scripture adds the word securely. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Oh, there's trouble? In this world, you'll have trouble. Are you of good cheer? It can take everybody out around you. It can't take me. Is that in your system? It can't take me. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Psalm 144. Last scripture for tonight. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer. My shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Know who you work for, who you work with, and who works for you. O Lord, what is man that you hate not, that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Or as they said in Acts, after they got a little bit of a setback, they said, God, stretch forth your hand to do signs and wonders and to heal. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. This is kingdom stuff. I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons in their youth be as grown up plants and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. That's a kingdom scripture. It operates today. It operates yesterday. It operates forever. It's a good one to have as you walk in the world. I'm quitting.